My, how fast this week has gone. Friday evening, we came here Saturday, and tomorrow will be a whole week. I was looking at my suitcase and still hadn't unpacked everything. And the week's almost gone. It's been a delightful time. And trust that you will be blessed by our message tonight on the subject of faithfulness, one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22 through 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And the Hays have been a wonderful example of this faithfulness we're talking about. We want to check real quickly to see if everyone has one of these handout outlines. If you don't, if you would just put your hand up, we'll try to get those to you very quickly and be turning to the first passage we'll be looking at, Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Proverbs 20 and verse 6. Anyone without an outline, just indicate with the raised hand and we'll see that you received one. While these are being passed out, someone may ask why we have the copyright at the bottom of these outline notes. Well, this is not to keep you from using these or distributing these. If you want to use them in teaching a Sunday school class or study group, they're just protecting the material against someone printing them up and then selling them for profit. So for you, the copyright there means copy it right off the sheet and use it however the Lord would have you to use that material. Anyone else need an outline? The title of our message, Wanted, A Few Faithful Christians, may remind you of the Marine recruiting motto. This is what they say are similar. Wanted, a few faithful men, a few good men, they specifically say. And then they have another motto that's very interesting. You'll see it on some bumper stickers. Semper Fidelis. Say, what does Semper Fidelis mean? Does that mean simply a fiddler or something like that? No, Semper Fidelis is the Latin for always faithful. And what God is looking for are Christians who will always be faithful. It's required in a man, a steward, that a man be found faithful. What does faithfulness mean? Well, let's think of a few synonyms. Sometimes the Bible translates this as trustworthy. Think of a faithful person as someone that you can absolutely count on no matter what the circumstances are. Person that's reliable, that you can depend on. And we would just think there would just be faithful people all over the place. But when we examine Scripture, what we find in God's viewpoint, true faithfulness is very rare. And don't let that discourage you, because you remember we just read that through the power of the Holy Spirit, every believer has the potential to be faithful. What in and of ourselves we can't be and maybe don't want to be, the Spirit can give us the desire and the dynamic to be faithful. Notice Proverbs 20 and verse 6, though, where it says, many a man proclaims his own loyalty or faithfulness, but who can find a trustworthy or faithful man? Faithful men and women are very, very rare. But the rarity of it does not move God's requirement of it. He still says it's required and steward that a man or woman be found faithful. Now, we have some wonderful pictures of people who are faithful in the Old Testament. We think about Moses, faithful in all of God's house. We think of David, a man who was so faithful, he was called a man after God's own heart, a man who faithfully served his generation. Daniel was so faithful, he'd rather stop living than stop praying. That's a real high priority on prayer. Then we think about the New Testament, the Apostle Paul. Paul said, the Lord counted or considered me faithful. But you know, while we're emphasizing here faithfulness as a characteristic of certain great men and women of God, yet really what we ought to focus on even more is God's faithfulness. Now, the Bible talks about the faithfulness of certain people, but when it comes to his faithfulness, what does it call it in Lamentations 3:22 and 23? Great is thy faithfulness. And that faithfulness has very practical implications for us. You think about 1 Corinthians 10:13. God is faithful and will not permit us to be tempted or tested above what we're able. Do you realize what this means? It means that God would not dare approve of anything to come into your life or my life, circumstance, adversity, blessing, or whatever, without His stamp of approval. I don't know if they still do it, but a lot of appliances would seek the good housekeeping stamp of approval. That meant that iron was supposed to get hot and work. That washing machine was supposed to work without breaking down. The good housekeeping stamp of approval. Well, everything that comes into your life, if you're a Christian, and comes into my life, has God's stamp of approval. This trial approved for Henry Holloman. This trial or temptation or adversary approved for Bill or Mary or Sue or Joe. That's great to know, because when God approves something to come into our lives, He always has it pulling a U-Haul of grace that's sufficient, doesn't He? Packaged with it. My grace is sufficient for you. So while we're talking about our needed faithfulness to the Lord, don't let us forget the bigger subject, His faithfulness to us. And did you know this is so significant that some of the titles of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation actually have Him called the faithful one, the faithful witness, the faithful word of God. That's actually one of His titles. Moses was faithful and a servant in all of God's house among the people of God of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is the owner of the house, and He was absolutely, perfectly faithful. So faithfulness is required of Christian stewards, and if the verse is not familiar, then you may want to look at it in 1 Corinthians 4:2 and mark it, because that's where that quote is coming from. We keep mentioning, in this case, moreover, it is required of stewards. A steward is someone to whom a responsibility has been committed. It is required in stewards, a manager, responsible person, that the person be found trustworthy or faithful. Now, what does vary among the people of God are abilities or gifts. In Matthew 25, Jesus Christ distributes according to a person's ability. Further on in the New Testament, we find out that different Christians have different gifts. So spiritual gifts are not something that we go along cafeteria and say, thank you, I'll take some peas. No, thank you, I won't have potatoes. I'll try some salad. We don't choose our spiritual gifts cafeteria style. The Holy Spirit sovereignly gives to us the gift or gifts that He designs for us to have. 1 Corinthians 12:11. The Holy Spirit divides to every man severally or individually as He will. We sometimes run a problem of this area. We tend to want the gift or gifts that somebody else has. The pastures are greener on the other side of the fence, you know. The evangelist says, I wish I could be a local pastor teacher and stay at home, be with my family, not have to live out of suitcases and just be in one locale. And the pastor teacher might be saying, I wish I could be like the evangelist. I could travel and be in the north in the summer, in the south in Florida in the winter, drop my bombs and leave, you know. And each person sees the other individual's gift as the one that they would like to have, rather than accepting the gift or gifts that God the Spirit has sovereignly given you or me, developing them, and then exercising them for the edification of the body. The Spirit determines the different gifts that we have. Our responsibility is to be faithful in whatever that gift is God has given us. Another mistake that we make is not only that of wanting gifts that other people have rather than accepting what the Spirit has given us, but we also tend to put more emphasis on the public leadership gift. If you're up front before the people, they say it's important to be faithful in your gift. And we look at that as more important than the private behind the scenes gift. And God looks at it all the same. He does not say, well done, thou good and gifted servant. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. In the meeting that I'm associated with now, we're meeting in a community center. We don't have our own building. We hope the Lord will provide that. Pray for us. But we have to set up every Sunday morning. And my wife, Shirley, she's the supervisor of the nursery, so I help her set up things. And we have to get there early to get things set up. And then after our meeting, we have to take everything down again. And so if we did not have people willing to set up chairs, set up the equipment, pass out songbooks, and do these different items that would be the gift of help, we could not operate. Billy Graham has said he believes there are people who labor in dark corners of our globe, missionaries who are faithful to the Lord, who will receive more reward than he does. And I believe he's right in that evaluation. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Every man will proclaim his own faithfulness or loyalty. But faithfulness, true faithfulness, is very, very rare. The story is told of a man who said, I would swim the widest river for the Lord. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd walk over miles of ice and snow for the Lord. And another brother said, well, I'm sure we'll see you at the meeting next Lord's Day. That I'll be there if it doesn't rain. And so we get this proclamation, I'm so faithful, I'm so loyal. And here it is right in the Bible. Every man says, oh, I'm faithful, count on me, I'll be there. But the Lord says it's very, very rare and hard to find a trustworthy, faithful person. And again, I don't want to say that to discourage us. We have 100% encouragement here because we find we can be faithful. God wants us to be faithful. And one of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. God says, I can do it through you. You can be my faithful servant. We also discover under C that faithfulness can be recovered after faith failure. We have a prime example here in John Mark. In Acts, it says that Paul and Barnabas, first missionary journey, they had John Mark as their helper. The problem is that Pisidian Antioch, Mark turned back. As we do a background study on him, evidently this young man was in a home, a wealthy home, nothing wrong with that. Mary used her home to have the church meeting there, early church meeting, 100 or so people. But he was apparently a very soft boy, we kind of call mama's boy, holding on to her apron strings, and he wasn't ready for this rough missionary life. And some have said, John Mark turned back for fear of rivers and robbers and went back and continued not with the work that Paul and Barnabas had been called to. Well, in Acts 15 at the end, Paul and Barnabas say, let's go back and visit those churches that we have planted there and see how those believers are doing. And that's when the squabble started. Barnabas, well, let's take John Mark again. Paul, no way is that Savior going with us. He was a flop. And if we take him back, these people are going to say, did Sonny Boy recover here? And it's going to really hurt our credibility. So Barnabas lets leave him. But old Uncle Barney comes along, you know, and says, well, I think we ought to take him. Paul says no. And they end up splitting up, but it seems that God's purpose was accomplished in both men's lives as a result of this. Well, old Uncle Barney took nephew John Mark, and with his gift of counseling and consolation, see, that's what the name Barnabas means, Barnabas, son of consolation or counsel. He was able to counsel him, to encourage him, so that later on in 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul tells Timothy, bring John Mark, for he's useful to me for the ministry. Here was a failure that God transformed into faithful servants. And once a person's born again, as we've said two times already, it's not by degrees. Being spiritually born again is either 0 or 100%, half-baked potatoes, but no half-born again people. But after a person's born again, saved, safe, and secure, you may not have learned faithfulness. And all of us are still growing in that faithfulness to the Lord. And as you look back on your Christian life, you may see a lot of failure. and almost conclude that you've been almost a total failure. That may not be true, but it may be for some here. I want to tell you, God has a gracious recovery program. God had to recover Moses after the murder and desire not to respond to God's call to lead his people out of Egypt. God had to recover Jonah in the belly of that great fish, going the opposite direction of his call. Christ had to recover Peter. I prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art turned again, strengthen your brethren. God has a wonderful recovery program. He's had to use it in all of our lives at times. But if you sit here and say, you know, mostly failure, very little faithful, God can do like John Mark and make you a servant useful for his work. Admit the failure. Yield to the Spirit of God. And God will produce his fruit of faithfulness in your life and in my life. Faithfulness goes a long, long way. The second book of the Bible is called what? Mark. Guess who wrote it? John Mark. I'm glad for God's recovery program. I'm glad for this understudy of Paul and Peter. And I'm glad for Uncle Barney, who saw the potential in a failure to become a faithful man of God. God sees that potential in every single believer here, whoever we are, to be more faithful. And even if we're in a failure, to recover us to faithfulness. Faithfulness will be rewarded. We've quoted several times already that famous verse, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Let me just mention several of the rewards that we actually have in this life for being faithful. Turn to Psalm 31 and verse 23. Psalm 31 and verse 23. The first blessing, promised result of faithfulness. Psalm 31:23 says, "O love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful." If you're faithful to the Lord, you have a sense of security. God is caring for you. That's true even when we are unfaithful. He abides faithful. Jonah was just as faith in the belly of that fish as in the temple of Israel. He didn't realize that, but in God's sight he was. In his own emotions, he was very distressed, upset, and fearful because he was not being faithful to God's calling. As a matter of fact, he thought God was limited to the land of Israel, so he thought he'd head for Tarshish. But God met him on the way and prepared that great fish to swallow him up. And you know, tonight, if you're running from God, maybe a true believer, but you're running from some call that God has on your life, and you're going to try to run away from God, when you get to the landing station, God's going to be there. Let me help you with your suitcases here and get off and get you back going the right direction. He'll be there to meet you at the landing strip and turn you around in the right direction. God was still caring for Jonah, but he wasn't experiencing that sense of care and closeness to the Lord until he got redirected back into the Lord's will. You want to meet a Christian who's nervous, who's upset, who's disturbed, who's distressed, whose stomach feels like it's got cinders in it? Meet a Christian who knows that he or she is not being faithful to the Lord and out of line with God's will. But thank the Lord, he's got that recovery program. He recovers the John Mark. He recovers the Jonas and brings them back into his will and back into his plan. The Lord preserves his faithful people. Secondly, the Lord cares for us. Psalm 101, verse 6. Psalm 101, verse 6. "My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He who walks in a blameless way is the one who will minister to me." God is watching over us. And as we face the uncertainty of the future in our country, as Dave has so well presented to us, I'll tell you, each message has been terrific. Our brother Dave has shared that one this morning. That really was jarring and just shook me to my boots, so to speak, in realizing what the future may hold here in the U.S., and yet the faithful God that we have that can make us faithful, even to the point of martyrdom. Dave, I was thinking of that Revelation 2:10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life. And a lot of things I would like to see change socially, politically, morally in our country. It's a travesty, in a sense, to see the decline that's taking place. But one thing that's foundational, whatever else our response is, God wants us to be individually faithful, and He will care for us. Whatever situation we get in, even if it is one of severe suffering, God says, I will care for you. Be faithful. I will give you grace. Thirdly, Proverbs 12:22, the Lord delights in us when we're faithful. Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal faithfully are His delight. We who are parents can especially enter into this. One of our children may give a wonderful speech and win that award. Another child does just great in a recital. And there's a proper pride. That's my boy. That's my gal. Didn't they do well? And how wonderful when the Heavenly Father can look down and say, that's one of my special kids. Real faithful she is. Real faithful he is. Something for us to delight in the Lord, but oh my, when He delights in us, that's really something. He delights in His faithful people. And kind of a summary passage, Proverbs 28:20, the Lord will abundantly bless faithfulness. Proverbs 28:20. A faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to be rich will not go unpunished. Why do so many Christians fall for get-rich schemes? I don't know. If you know, tell me. And it's not wrong to make a profit, to be wise financially, for the Lord to commit to you large resources and to be good stewards of that. That is the blessing of the Lord. What the Bible says is, don't look for the get-rich-quick scheme. Be faithful. God will certainly bless you. One of the things that all of us need to be fearful of, and it's the fear of failure. The fear of failure. But there is, as we've learned from these passages, one sure way not to fail, and that is to be faithful even unto death. And if you're in that situation of failure, say, Lord, I admit it, I repent, I yield to the Spirit of God that He might make me faithful. But let's reflect once more on the faithfulness of the Lord. The faithfulness of the Lord stands behind a wonderful promise that's very precious to me, Romans 10:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has never failed to respond to that promise, and He didn't fail in my life. When in April of 1956, in Dallas, Texas, in a suburb, University Park, I called upon the Lord, and He did what He promised. He saved me. The burden of sin was lifted. Life was imparted. The next day, my roommate said, something's different about you. Something has changed. And at that point, I didn't even know 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature of creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As I later found that verse, I began to realize what had happened to me and what my roommate even saw in my life. I was not perfect, but I was accepted and saved in Jesus Christ. God was faithful to His promise. Romans 10:13 applies to whoever you are, wherever you are, however much you've sinned, God says, I will save you faithfully if you will call upon my name. When you call upon the name of Jesus Christ, He faithfully saves you. And then He can say, I've also given you the helper of the Holy Spirit. And one of those ninefold fruits is to make you a faithful Christian. Yes, you'll never hear the words, well done, thou good and gifted Christian, though God gives us spiritual gifts. But what He will say is, well done, thou good, the kind of person we are. Fruit of the Spirit, well done, thou good and faithful person. faithful people, even among Christians, are very rare, but God still requires it. It is required in a man or woman that we be found faithful. May we be found faithful. Father, we rejoice in the wonderful faithfulness of our Lord Jesus to come to earth, to step up on the cross and die for our sins, to rise again, for death could not hold him. And we believe he is faithfully going to fulfill his promise, I will come again. If he were to come today and we stand before him, we pray that each one of us may hear those wonderful words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to mention tonight, their heads are bowed, their eyes are closed. If there's anyone here, and during this week or just this very day, you've been struggling with this issue of your relationship to Christ, and you say, I know there are Christians here that are saved, they're sure, they're secure, and I'd just love to know that I have eternal life in Jesus Christ, that I've been saved. I'd like to have someone sit down and share with me the gospel and answer some questions I have. I'm going to be right down here in front. And if you'd like to come talk to me, we can go aside privately, but I just love to talk to you. But don't hesitate. Come and contact me or someone whom you know is a believer. There's nothing we'd rather do than share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.